Hi, this is Corey Turner, and along with my wife Simone, we are the senior pastors of Pneuma Church. I wanted to thank you for listening to our podcast today. You're about to hear a message from one of our team that we pray builds your faith and empowers you to follow Jesus more closely. Enjoy the message.
Anyone who's following the way of Jesus, they were being called disciples. Acts 19, verse 9, the church in Ephesus. We see the same thing again, they're being called disciples. But then in Acts 11, 26, we see the Christians being called Christians for the first time. So who is a disciple? A disciple of Jesus is a spirit-filled believer who lives in obedience to Jesus' teaching while being transformed into the likeness of Jesus, serving in ministry, reaching the lost, and making disciples of Jesus. The key to being a disciple of Jesus is putting the primary emphasis on Jesus. If we think it's about us, we have a wrong perspective of how we're called to live and what we're called to do. Talking about Jesus, what is a disciple according to Jesus? When you look at the word, this is what the word says. Just some of the few things the word says about being a disciple according to Jesus' word. It says, a disciple abides in Jesus relationally. That's from John 8:31. It actually says, if you abide in my word, you are truly mine. That's it. So a disciple abides in Jesus relationally. A disciple according to Jesus' word obeys Jesus. John 15:14 says, you are my friends if you do what I command you. A disciple according to Jesus' words loves as Jesus loved. John 15:12 says, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. As I have loved you, we know how much Jesus loved us. He gave himself up for us. And he says, love one another in the same way. As I have loved you. What an example. This is what a disciple looks like according to Jesus. The other thing is that a disciple according to Jesus' words bears much fruit. John 15:8. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. A disciple is someone who follows Jesus, not someone who follows you. Did you catch that? A disciple is someone who follows Jesus, not someone who follows you. So how does it work that in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1, the man himself who wrote most of the New Testament, Paul, would say, follow me as I follow Christ. Be imitators of me as I imitate Christ. Is he being arrogant? What's that about? The thing in Paul's time as he's writing this is that the Gospels had not been written yet. And some people had not had that type of experience with Jesus or that closeness. And Paul was teaching them. And just like Jesus is in you as he's in me through the Holy Spirit and was in Paul, Paul was able to say to them, follow me as I follow Christ. He wasn't being arrogant, but he was living by example because discipleship has to be modeled. Yes, we've got the word of God, but we put the seed in here, the seed is in here, and it produces fruit. And people can see that, and they go, wow, what is that about? And they will just follow you. But they're not actually following you, they're following Jesus that is in you. So we don't have to say, hey, can't follow me like I follow Christ. No, with your actions, people will just be drawn. Because you're lifting Jesus on high, like God said, Jesus said, and when I'm lifted up, I will draw all men unto me, all women unto me. When we lift him up with our lives, people will be drawn to him. We're to be signposts of Jesus. So I encourage you to really think about that. Can you actually say to yourself that you can say to people by actions, follow me like I follow Christ? You know, for me, I got saved when I was 12. That's when I made my own very decision that I'm going to follow Jesus. And since then, I've been walking with God. I've had my ups and my downs. He's been faithful. But through that whole time, I can look back. I'm 38 now. What's 38 minus 12? Come on, somebody. 26, James, thank you so much. In that 26 years, I can tell you through the transitions, through the promotions, through the appointments, through the confusion, through the failures, through the great times, I can point back to a man, and a woman, to a couple, to family, to mentors, to people that have been there for me, that have spoken into my life, people that I've called and said, hey, I'm going through this. Can you help me out? What do you think? Give me some wisdom. People that have kept me accountable. Like, this is discipleship. We have a couple that we love so much, they become best friends to us. They're like 30 or 40 years older than us. It doesn't even matter. But this couple, the guy who married us, he did our wedding 11 years ago. And we've developed such a great friendship that, you know, I was an accountant, loving what I was doing, but God was calling me to ministry, and God was so patient. It took about 6 years to come to the point of, yep, I hear you, God. But when we had our senior pastor approach us and say, hey, are you called to ministry, or are you called, like, full-time ministry in the church, or are you called to business? I'd always thought I was called to business, and I was called for that time. But we needed some help. And I spoke to different people. We called this couple, the couple I'm talking about, and they just spoke wisdom into the situation. And we just look back and say, look at what the Lord has done. You've got to have people like that in your life. We moved to London a few years later for 2 years, and this couple happened to be in London, just traveling, making stuff to travel the world. And we caught up in London, and even that time we were on Skype with them, catching up, they're just keeping us accountable. But we don't even look at it like that. They're like 40 years older than us, right? But they say, we have more fun. We get more out of hanging out with you than you think you get. We keep them young, and they give us wisdom. But you just gotta have people like that in your life. And I'm just, we're gonna talk more about this. Seriously, this is what discipleship looks like.
Yeah, it's good.
So discipleship is inviting someone into a relational space where they can see into your life, where you can see into their life, where they can encourage you, where you can encourage them. It's, you challenge one another, they call you higher. But the whole objective is to become more like Jesus. That is the whole objective, to become more like Jesus. There's got to be transparency. But you know, in building God's church, in making disciples, there is no discipleship without making disciples. There's no discipleship without making disciples. Disciples can only be made by another disciple through Jesus Christ. It's called reproduction. Disciples can only be made by another disciple through Jesus Christ. Jesus didn't say, hey, Jesus didn't say, believe in me, live your Christian life, and I will make disciples. He didn't say he's going to make disciples. He said, go therefore and make disciples. Yeah. He's given us the authority. So let's remember that discipleship can only be made by another disciple through Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Good.
So what does it take? What does it take to make disciples? Because you guys are doing it already, but we all just need a little bit of a reminder, don't we?
Yeah.
This guy's going on and on and on about discipleship. I told you it's the D word. We're going to get this thing into our hearts. Like, you know, discipleship, we've been hearing about it for the last month. But this thing is going to transform human church. This thing is going to transform the community. This thing is going to transform your workplace. Wherever God called you to, discipleship is going to impact it. So what does it take? It takes time. Discipleship takes time. Investing in someone takes time. There's no substitute for time. It's something that we all have.
Yeah, it's good.
Oh man, I'm too busy about this, about that. Yeah, awful. But you've got time. We all have 24 hours. No excuses, right? I'm not hitting you here. All I'm saying is we all have time. What does it take? It takes time to choose what we do with our time. But before you even start investing in someone, pray. Jesus prayerfully selected his 12. The Bible tells us in Luke chapter 6, 12 to 13, it says, in these days he went out to the mountains to pray, and all night he continued in prayer to God. And when day came, he called his disciples and chose from them 12 whom he named his apostles. When was the last time you prayed? to say, God, this year, this month, this week, who do you want me to invest time into?
Yeah.
Who do you want me to see Jesus reproduced in? Who do you want me to invest? When's the last time you prayed for that? Jesus spent the whole night. Just even take 5 minutes today to just pray, Lord, who do you want me to invest into? Like Hannah even mentioned that through worship. Who in my neighborhood, in my community, should I make time for this week? So it takes time, but it takes prayer. And in those moments when you pray, God shows you. He'll show you. I just love sitting in a cafe having a coffee with another man just talking about life, encouraging them. They're encouraging me, sharpening each other like iron sharpens iron, man sharpens man.
Right.
I just live for that. I love it. I've always enjoyed it. And now I get to do it as a pastor full time. We're not just having coffees all the time. People think pastors just go down and having coffees. Trust me, there's tears and things there too. But there's such a joy you get when you journey with someone. You see them say yes to Jesus. Next thing they're getting baptized. Next thing they're getting married. I just did a wedding the other day. And just the opportunity that even comes for me at a wedding to share the gospel where no one knows Jesus is like, wow. You're like, man, what are we doing here? Afterwards, people are just saying, thank you for sharing that. You just brought us joy.
Yeah.
So you got to pray. You got to put time into it. That's what it takes. What else does it take? Intimacy with God.
Yeah.
We need God's presence.
Yeah.
We can't do without it. To disciple someone takes intimacy with God. You can only give what you have.
Yeah.
And you get that from spending time with God.
Yeah.
That non-negotiable daily appointment with God. And yes, we pray without ceasing. We reach out to God. Jesus is in us. But we just got to give him that time, that intimacy. Because out of that, he gives you deposits of his presence. He gives you deposits of revelation from the word. And he gives you an overflow that people will just catch on to just in your conversation. He gives you wisdom. So intimacy with God is such a key thing when it comes to discipleship. The Holy Spirit. So it takes time. Someone loves the Holy Spirit. It takes time. It takes prayer. It takes intimacy with God, but it takes the Holy Spirit for us to make disciples. Acts chapter 1, verse 8 said, and when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, I will give you power. You will receive power to be my witnesses in Judea, in Jerusalem, in Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the world.
Yeah.
To be witnesses, to make disciples, we need the Holy Spirit. John chapter 20, 21 to 22 says, Jesus said to them again, this was like a similar moment or a different account of the Great Commission when Jesus is sending out his disciples after he's resurrected. He says to them, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you. And when he said this, he breathed on them. He breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit. The word says it's not by might, it's not by power, but it is by my Spirit, says the Lord of hosts. There's no way we can build God's church. He does that. He builds the church. But there's no way we can partner with him in that without the Holy Spirit. And that comes from intimacy with God. But let's get real for a minute. What? We haven't been real yet? Let's get the masks off. I'm not talking about the COVID masks, right? To disciple someone, you've got to be vulnerable.
Yeah.
You've got to be real. You've got to take your mask off.
Yeah, it's good.
It's not a weakness to show your vulnerability. But there's got to be trust.
Yeah.
But you've got to expose yourself to someone that you trust. And that takes time. That takes prayer. But a time comes when you've got to be vulnerable. People can smell it when you're fake. They can smell it. Nah, not going to hang out with that pastor. I'm not going to hang out with that person. Because then people want you to be real.
Yeah, that's good.
There's a quote that says, to share your weakness is to make yourself vulnerable. To make yourself vulnerable is to show your strength. And we know God says his power is made perfect in our weakness. So you've got to be vulnerable. What else does it take? It takes patience. Patience is the fruit of the Spirit.
Yeah.
It takes being tolerant of people. You know, when you're journeying with someone, things can be slow. The transformation, you've got to give them grace to journey with him. So it takes patience. What else does it take? It takes boldness. Boldness to speak the truth in love. Don't waste your time not telling people the truth. Jesus gives us boldness. The church only grew because Peter was preaching boldly and he added to the number of the church. Preach the word boldly, but speak the truth in love. And what else does it take? It takes teachability. We've got to be teachable. It doesn't matter whether you're the one who's discipling or the one that's being discipled. We all need to be discipled, but we've got to be teachable. We've got to be teachable. Even as someone who you feel like you're a few chapters ahead of the other person, receive feedback. So these are the things that takes time, prayer, intimacy with God, humility, Holy Spirit, patience, boldness, and teachability. So what is it that we have to give? What do you have to give when it comes to discipleship? Everything. Yourself. You've got to give yourself. Jesus freely gave himself. See, you can't do this with everyone. Jesus had his 12, but he also had his 3. That's why you've got to pray into this. So you've got to give yourself to this thing. And if you have some life experience, if you've been breathing for a few years, minutes, whatever it is, you've got life experience. If you've been saved for a minute or two, yes, whatever it is, God will use whatever you have. He will put the person next to you. So all you have to do is give of yourself. But when it comes to all this thing we're talking about, discipleship, there's obstacles. This has been preached for years and years and years and years and years. But somehow, we can struggle with it. Why is that? There's obstacles to discipleship, obstacles to engaging in discipleship, and one of them is independence. We want to be independent. We want to do our own thing. I don't need nobody. I got this. I'm not going to show them that. Independence. I don't even need to expand on that. Just remember that. Independence. God created us for relationship with him and relationship with others. He's created us to be interdependent. So an obstacle can be independence. The other obstacle can be insecurity. We just feel like we don't measure up. Stop looking at yourself. Look at Jesus. He's the one that is in you. He's the one that gives you the power. So don't feel insecure. Don't feel inadequate. If you feel that, run to Jesus. He'll give you what you need. Don't feel like you have to go to Newman College or Bible College to be able to speak into someone's life or journey with someone. It's great to do Bible college and all those things, but some people go, oh, no, I'm not educated enough for that. That's insecurity.
Yeah.
Where's your identity? Your identity is in Christ.
Yes.
Another obstacle is selfishness, being self-centered, that me, consumerism, mindset, what's in it for me? These are the things that can stop us from engaging in discipleship. We start to compare. We start to compete. It's naturally in us because it's sin. So let's do away with competition. Let's do away with comparison. Let's celebrate one another.
Yeah, that's good.
The last obstacle to share with you is past hurts. Anyone been hurt? Come on, celebrate it. All things work together for the good of those that love God and are called according to his purpose. Past hurts. Man, people hurt people. Even in a place like this, in the church, people will hurt each other. Jesus was hurt. He was betrayed by one of his own. Have a chat to Jesus about it, and he will tell you all about it. But don't let those things get you stuck from engaging in discipleship. Get the help you need. Get the prayer you need. Take the time to heal. But we can't let past hurts stop us from discipling others. Because people actually need you to disciple them because of what you went through.
Yes.
If you're not going to have a voice, if you're not going to say, God, help me to step out of this, someone else is going to miss out.
Yes.
So these are the obstacles to engaging in discipleship. So when you think about all those obstacles, it's actually just you and me focusing on ourselves, independence, comparison, selfishness, past hurt. We're focusing on ourselves when we're supposed to be looking to Jesus.
Right.
Jesus said, go therefore and make disciples. He gave an order, a command. But guess what? He gave us that with a promise. promise. He said, behold, I am with you always. I will always be with you to the very end of the age. You see, this is what Matthew finishes off with the promise. But in Matthew chapter 1, it starts with another promise of Emmanuel. The Virgin Mary thought, you're going to have a son and he's going to be called Emmanuel, God with us. And there's even a reminder in Matthew 18, verse 20, that says, for where there's two or more gathered, I'll be with you. Jesus promises us his presence. So this whole thing about discipleship, God's not asking us to do it by ourselves.
Yeah.
Jesus knows it's going to be hard, but he says, I'll be with you. So we need the Holy Spirit. I encourage you to go home and look at how the disciples did it after the Great Commission. Look at Peter's life, look at Paul's life, look at Philip's life, look at Barnabas' life, look at Timothy's life, and see how they carried out the Great Commission. So where to from here? Human discipleship, we get to do discipleship. Some next steps for us that I'll just encourage you with. Pray. Pray specifically for who am I going to disciple, or who am I discipling?
Yeah.
And God will show you. God will show you. Start from here today. Maybe the person next to you, just talk to them. Have a chat. I'm over on my church, looking at the screen. Hallelujah, it's great, but you don't engage with anyone. We're back in the building, y'all! Let's engage with people. Talk to the person behind you, the person in front of you, and you just, man, I would not be where I am today doing what I'm doing without talking to people in church, without being part of a life group. Thank you, Jesus.
Yeah.
You brought me to where I am today because of relationship.
Yeah. That's good.
So start by praying. Start by being part of a life group. Next week, Sunday the 13th of March, is Life Group Sunday. Pastor Don will tell you more about that. But next week is Life Group Sunday. This is where we get to connect in life group. Imagine if every single person in Human Church, in every location, was in a life group.
Yeah.
Imagine that.
Right.
Hey, maybe you're already in a life group. Think about starting a life group. I'm not here to promote life group. I'm just telling you, this is discipleship.
Yeah.
So pray. Be in a life group. Start a life group. Ask yourself, how am I going to be a disciple maker? You have Jesus in you. And he's told us, teach them what I've commanded. Teach them to observe what I've commanded. We are, all of us are to be teachers. We're not just learning this for our own. We get too fat on the word. But we're actually going to impart it to people. Impart God's presence to people. The more you're taking in, the more that's going out, but then the more room there is to receive more.
Yeah, that's good.
So I just encourage you to be continual teachers, to be continual learners. This is what Jesus has taught us. And don't forget Team Advance. This is part of our new discipleship. We get to gather together as team, as leaders, as volunteers. It's all about owning your own journey of growing in God, being responsible for your own growth. If I can get you to all just stand. I trust that you've been challenged today.
Yeah.
As much as it's probably a bit annoying to just keep hearing discipleship, discipleship, discipleship. But this is who we are.
Yeah.
This is how God built his church. See, Jesus had one objective. And I'll put that objective into three things. Save the lost. Anyone excited to see the lost saved? Save the lost. Build the church and advance God's kingdom. And each and every person in this room today, you're not here by chance.
Good.
God is speaking. God is talking to you. You have something to give. It doesn't matter how long you've been a Christian for. It doesn't matter what you've done right, what you've done wrong. You have the Holy Spirit in you. You have something to give. He's placed you in a workplace for a reason. He's placed you in your family for a reason. He's placed you wherever he has placed you. Oh, man.
Yeah.
Whatever God demands from you, whatever God is calling out of you, he supplies.
Yeah.
He's the answer. He said, I will always be. what he's prepared to give to us for.
Yeah.
So God, we come before you this morning.
Yeah.
And Lord, we say we need you. Lord, we hear your call, the Great Commission. Lord, we ask ourselves again, who am I discipling? Lord, we declare that making disciples is not optional.
Yeah.
But this was the last command. Lord, we make it our first priority. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you've been speaking. Lord, we thank you that you call us to be fishers of men, fishers of women,
yeah,
fishers of people. Lord, we pray that in our workplaces, in our businesses, in our homes, that Lord, you will use us to see people come to know you. But in our church, Lord God, here at Yuma South, that no one will go without being discipled. But that God, every person standing in here today get to impart something of you in every day, in every moment, in whatever way you need it. So Holy Spirit, we ask you for more of your presence. We ask for your wisdom. Use us, mold us. And in this moment, church, as you're standing, if you can just close your eyes, bow your heads for privacy. As we're talking about being disciples, going from being just believers to being disciples of Jesus, there could be someone here today that you don't know maybe what it is to believe. You don't know what it is to be a disciple. To be a disciple of Jesus is to be in a place where you say, Jesus, you are the Lord of my life. Maybe you haven't made Jesus your Lord. You haven't made God the Creator your Lord. That's what he is. But you've got to respond to that.
Yes.
Jesus gave his one and only Son. He gave himself. God gave himself up through his Son, Jesus Christ. He took our place. We were all separated from God, who is holy, who is pure. We were separated from relationship with him, even before we were born, because of sin. Because of sin, we fall short of being in relationship with God. But Jesus made a way on the cross. He died a painful death. His blood was shed. His body was beaten. And he died in your place, in my place. But he conquered death on the third day. He rose again. And now there's resurrection power available to you and me.
Yes.
Jesus paid the price for you and me. The word says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever would believe in him would not perish but have eternal life. If there's anyone here today and you're saying, I want to know Jesus, I want to give him my life, I've been trying to do life by myself, this is your moment. Today is a day of salvation. God's already been chasing you. God's been knocking on the door of your heart. Maybe you said yes to Jesus before and you've walked away. And maybe you've come to church so many different times. You've had ups and downs and you've walked away and you've recommitted your life so many times and you're like, I don't need to do that. I believe this is your moment to make a recommitment to God. Don't wait for 2 hours later. Don't wait for tomorrow. Make a statement now. If you've never said yes to Jesus, this is your moment to respond. To say, I believe in what he did on the cross. I believe that he's inviting me to a relationship. I want eternal life. But I want purpose here on earth, because God has a purpose for you. So if that is you, please raise your hand whilst everyone's eyes are closed. Raise your hand if you want to make a decision today to say yes to Jesus for the first time, or if you want to make a decision to recommit your life to God. Just raise your hand up high and we'll pray with you. We'll all pray together as a church. Hallelujah. Alright, we're just going to pray. Sometimes there's people in the room and you don't feel comfortable. Guess what? The Word of God says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved.
Yeah.
So we're going to pray together as a church family. We're going to recommit our life to God. And if this is your first time to pray after me, dear Lord, we ask for your forgiveness. We need a Savior. I believe in God the Father. I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. I confess my sin. I need you, Lord. I repent for my own ways. And I look to you. Lord, come into my life. I believe in you, Jesus. You died and you rose again. I depend on you. I thank you for your love for me. I make a decision today to call you Lord, to call you Savior, to walk with you, to be led by you. Thank you for loving me. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Let's just give a name of praise to our God and to worship you.
Thank you for joining us for this message today. We don't assume that every person listening has a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And so today, we invite you to begin following Jesus as your Lord and Savior. The Bible teaches that every one of us has been created for a relationship with God. Sin has separated us from that relationship, but God loved us so much that He gave us His one and only Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus lived, died, and rose again, conquering sin, Satan, and death itself. If we believe in our hearts that God has raised Jesus from the dead, and we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, we will be saved. So if you are ready to pray in faith, turning away from your sin and believing in Jesus for your salvation, please pray this prayer. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God, and I ask you to forgive me and cleanse my heart from all of my sin. I receive by faith the free gift of eternal life, and I ask that you would fill me with the Holy Spirit. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God and that you have made me a new creation in Christ Jesus. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. If you have prayed that prayer for the first time, we would love to know and help connect you to a local church in your area. You can contact us on our website, pneuma.church. Thank you for listening.